It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
9:03 in the AM, Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Ed Norris, Rob Long, Jeremy Kahn is on a bereavement leave today. He will be back on Monday. Send a prayer up for my boy and his family. Maryland Terps coming off a 31-17 loss to Rutgers Scarlet Knight. Terps try to get back on the winning side in the Big Ten. Joining us right now, head football coach for those Terps, Mike Locksley. What's going on, Coach?
Rob, what's going on, man? How you guys doing?
Doing well, man. Hanging in there. You got Iowa coming up on Saturday. That game is at noon on the Big Ten Network. You can find it right here. Coverage begins at 11 o'clock right here on 105.7 The Fan. We're going to forget about Minnesota, Oregon, and Rutgers because I'm sure that's the same message you're telling your kids, your young men. What does Iowa do that keeps you awake at night?
I think the big thing, you know, obviously you got a ton of respect for Kirk Ferentz and the consistency that that program's had in this league a long, long time. You know, when we had divisions, the West Side, Iowa was always a team that was in that championship game quite a bit. Their ability to run the football this time of year is really important. And, you know, that running back, I think he leads the Big Ten, and I know they lead the Big Ten in rushing. So it's going to be really important for us, and it's probably one of the things we've been able to do decent on defense this year is stop the run. And so it's going to come down to us trying to stop the run and limit the big plays in the passing game, which I saw us take a step forward a week ago in terms of limiting the deep big plays over the top.
Coach, what about the this broadly speaking of the Big Ten in general? To me, just looking at it, I mean, Ohio State's up there. Michigan, after winning a national championship, is just not very good. Indiana's undefeated. It just seems like it's kind of an unusual year in the conference.
Well, I think that's, as I said earlier this year, you know, when things were on the uptick for us, that's, you know, the landscape of this is it's where it's going to be from now on because, as I've said before, as you start looking at the way things are being done in college football and college athletics, it's creating the parity, and that's where I've said I remain very optimistic about our opportunities moving forward because our ability to recruit and bring in the right players and then now have the ability to develop them and compete with some of these other schools. And, you know, you see the fruits of what Indiana did with the investment in their program and bringing in, you know, Kurt Cignetti from JMU where he had a lot of success. And, you know, it's the same formula that we want to get done here at Maryland. And as I said earlier this week, you know, none of us are happy with where we are. Let's make that very clear.
Sure.
We are not happy where we are, but we are who we want to be, and that's a team that's really competitive, stays in it, fights hard, and we just keep our head down and keep working. And we got a great opportunity to send a group of seniors that have done some special things here the last few years out in their last home game at the Shell, and that's what the energy is all about.
Do you think contribute this to the new parity to the transfer portal, NIL money, anything like that?
Yeah, it's exactly that. You know, when you start looking at the ability for schools like Indiana, like Maryland, to now with the NCAA and the settlement that comes along with it, where we're, you know, have the ability to pay players, and then their ability to leave and transfer, it doesn't allow, as I call the blue blood programs, to kind of stockpile the talent. And
yeah,
you'll see the talent start to be dispersed throughout the country and in our league, and that's where the parity creates. And if you look at why the NFL model works, it's because you have a lot of teams in that above 500. You know, a couple years ago, the Buccaneers at 9-7 went to the playoffs and won the Super Bowl. It creates that parity, and it limits the ability for some of the programs in the past that have had so much success to stockpile talent and make it tough for others to take that next step. And I love it. I love it for Maryland. I love it for college football.
Yeah.
Here with Coach Mike Locksley, Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Coach, we live in a social media society, and everybody's an expert. Everyone knows what to do. How do you keep the outside noise exactly that, on the outside?
You know, I think it only comes from, you know, I always say wisdom is the experience of your positive and negative experiences. And the wisdom I've had doing this thing 36 years, Rob, is you better not listen to the fans or you'll become a fan. And again, I know they're disappointed, as we are. I mean, we all are. If you're a fan or a supporter of Maryland football, this year has been a little disappointing and going into it. But you know what? I'm still very optimistic, and I won't buy into the pessimism of the culture of what it's kind of become. And we're going to keep fighting our tail off until we get it right. I mean, that's what the turtle race is all about, right? Just continuing to take the next step forward. And we'll continue to do that, at least under my watch.
I figure that. How are the players reacting to it? Because I'm sure you're trying to keep them, you know, how do you close out against Penn State? How are they right now in the headspace?
No, our players have continued. Like I said, that's the part that I'm really confident about, because I know who we are. And this team is a team that will not quit. And when I talk about, they'll just continue to fight, and it hadn't been pretty. I mean, you know, the painful process of allowing probably the two toughest positions to grow up. If it hadn't been for 36 years in this business and having been a part of building programs and even having done that here at Maryland, when we first got back here, it's a painful process when you build it through the high school, which we will continue to do. But now that this NIL thing has kicked in for all of us, you know, obviously to supplement and to make some of the bigger jumps, we now need to go get some good players when this portal opens up to pair with high school players to help us get this thing back going again.
Coach, good luck to you, to you and your seniors on Senior Day. 12 o'clock on BTN against Iowa. And again, their game coverage begins at 11 o'clock right here on The Fan. Thanks a lot, Coach.
You got it.
See you, man. Thank you.
Yeah, like the quote, don't listen to the fans or you will become a fan.
He's right.
Being He's unemployed right. out there sitting with them.
I feel bad.
I do too. He's a good guy.
Yeah, he's a great guy. And that's why, you know what I do to you? Whenever you and Jeremy always have to, if I hear something, I got to correct it. But I can't help myself.
The Bucks didn't go 9-7.
They were 7-9.
No, he said the year they went to the Super Bowl.
The year meant the year before.
Right.
The year before they were 9-7. They were 7-9. Then they were 11-5 and won the Super Bowl.
I knew it.
Yeah.
I knew it. I knew you were going to jump out on it.
I couldn't.
Because not only was it incorrect, it's the Bucks.
It's the Bucks, yes.
Jacob Calvin Meyer joins us at 9:30. But on the other side, the Cy Young Award winners have been announced. Are you surprised Burns didn't receive some votes? Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on The Fan. Can I be a homer for a second? I really have to be a homer for a second. I have no problems with who won the Cy Young Award. I have no problem. I think those two winners were supposed to win, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But for Corbin Burns to get, what, 3 third-place votes, was it? This guy had a really good year. He was 15-9.
Yeah.
2.92 ERA in the American League East. 32 starts. I don't think he missed a start, did he? 194 innings pitched. 181 strikeouts. I mean, he had great numbers all across the board. His whip, 1.096. No love at all.
He was the mainstay in this rotation that went to the playoffs. He was a huge reason they had the season they did. With everybody else going down, he had a great season. I think he's the premier free agent on the market right now.
Freemason, huh? What you up to?
In the Elks Lodge, he's a Freemason.
Yeah, we going at the work, Ed? We talked about yesterday. What are you talking about? Hazing yesterday?
True.
What you up to, Ed?
Can't tell you.
Some slips aren't really slips. Joe, give me Burns' breakdown on the voting. Come on, man. Help me out.
All right. So overall, he was fifth.
This is ridiculous.
So no first-place votes at all. He had 3 second-place votes, 4 third-place votes, 9 fourth-place votes, and 5 fifth-place votes. Cole Ragans, Emmanuel Classe, and Seth Lugo, and obviously Scooble were ahead of him.
Cole Ragans, Classe, Lugo. Man, get out of here. Man.
Seriously, get out of here.
Get out of here, man.
I mean, Classe had a great year. He's a reliever. Lugo, I mean, I think Burns is better than him, had a better season.
It's just ridiculous.
Yeah. So, I mean, Schoolboy was like, you kind of knew he was getting it.
Yeah, I'm all right with that. I have no problem with Schoolboy getting it, but I'm just, his war was 3.4. What were those guys' wars? Hold up tight, Ed. His war was 3.4. All right, you said Raggins?
Mm-hmm.
See what Raggins' whip was, or ERA was. Screen radio right here. He was a 4.9 war. Okay. All right. Lugo. Well, these guys had better war than him, then I'm not going to make any arguments. Because for me, war is huge.
Well, yeah.
5.3. They had high war. There you go. That's it, Joe. They all had higher war than our guy, Corbin Burns. I just felt like he had a better year than those guys. But, you know, the war says otherwise. How much did you put into war? What is it good for, Ed?
Absolutely nothing. No, I do. I put a lot into it because what matters in sports?
Wins over replacement.
Wins.
Wins, yeah.
That's what matters in sports.
Next man up. They say the next man up ain't just.
Listen, we've talked about that in different sports a million times. Like, you could have Hanser Alberto. He got a lot of hits. Meant for nothing. You know, when Matthew Stafford was with the Lions, they never won, but he led the league in passing many years. You see, he'd throw for 5,000 yards or 500 yards.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean anything if you're not winning. So
let's go to Mitchell in Baltimore. What's up, Mitchell?
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. I'm also trying not to be a homer, and I watched Burns all year, and he's a great pitcher. But I would say I think he finished where he should have finished. He probably cost himself a couple games with defense and not being able to hold runners on. I would not call his season dominating. It's a great season, but it's not a great season for Corbin Burns. He was clearly not, at a portion of the season, he wasn't even our top pitcher. He may have been our third best starter. So,
well, Mitchell, first of all, wait a second. Who other than Tarik Skubal was dominant out of the other four? Who was dominant?
Class A was dominant.
Okay. All right. But, you know, you got four guys that finish in front of him. Again, I don't have no problem. If I had a Cy Young Award vote, I would have voted for Schoolboy. But I don't know a time when he was the third best starter on his team. I don't know one time when Corbin Burns was the third best starter.
How could you even? I mean, kidding aside, how could you even say that?
I don't.
I mean, come on. Even if Bradish was here, he'd probably still be the number one starter. I mean, Burns. Like, Bradish had a great year last year.
So I guess he's saying at one time, Bradish and who? Who was the second best starter at the time?
Yeah, me.
Grayson Rodriguez? So Bradish and Rodriguez were better than Burns at one time. I guess that's what he's saying. But I don't recall that time. I think they were outstanding starters. This is not, and I hate comparing because it sounds like you're crapping on the other guys. And that's not what I'm doing.
It makes it sound defensive, and you shouldn't be put in that position where, well, wait a minute. Because, well, sometimes when people say things, to me, that's like, that makes no sense at all. Like, you're totally saying something, and there's degrees of wrong. And that's, you know, it's like.
What degree is he on?
Well, I'll tell you. You know, if you get it wrong about, you know, whether a tomato was a fruit or a vegetable, you know, that's slightly wrong. If you call a tomato a suspension bridge, that's very wrong. So that's the difference.
So he was a suspension bridge.
Yeah.
All right, got you. Yeah. Just want a clarification. Yeah, that was mean. It was mean spirited. Something that, you know.
You would have done.
Oh, my God. 410-583-1057 is the number. I said, tomato is a suspension bridge. Wow. I don't think I've ever heard that one.
Nor should you.
Corbin Burns, how badly do you want him back next year?
Very bad. Very badly. I really do.
I want him back next year and the year after that. I don't know about that third year.
Whatever. I want him back at least the next year.
But if you had to sign a 5-year deal, are you willing to do that? So that's the thing. That's the big thing that people forget.
Yeah.
The years. I'm not.
Well, I would sign it knowing he's not going to be very good the last two, probably. So.
Those strikeouts keep coming down. When the strikeouts come down, you stop missing bats. You stop missing bats, you got to be creative.
Yeah, you do.
Let's go to Cliff in White Marsh. What's up, Cliff?
Yeah, guys, Ed and Rob.
That's 2 days in a row, Cliff.
Yeah, I know. I'm pretty bored around here. I listen every day, but, you know, it's a lot for me to pick the phone up. But about pitching with the Orioles moving forward, What's the status of all the guys that had Tommy John? I know we're getting the closer back, and he should be up to speed right out of the gate. But I'll take it off air, Rob. The guys that are injured, Means and Bradish, and who's the other guy, the starter that went down with Tommy John?
Rodriguez?
Yeah.
I don't think either one of those guys will be back to start the season. None of them. Is it Wells?
Wells is the other one that got Tommy John.
Yeah, Wells may be the first one back. He's the first one that had it, right? Other than Bautista, but the starters. I don't expect Bradish back to maybe midway through, if later. Keep in mind, he pitched, what was his last start? June?
End of June.
Yeah. So I don't think either one of those guys are going to be back at the start of the season. You'll be best case scenario midway through. I said before, I'd sign Means to a very, very franchise-friendly deal. Because if he gets healthy, he's the beast. His last start for Bradish was June the 14th. He went 5 innings, giving up 2 runs on 3 hits, striking out 4, walking 1. That was it. That was the last. They lost to the Phillies, and he was done for the year. They lost 5-3. He was done for the year. So, there you go. 410-583-1057. That's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Joe LaCroix's Encore 9:45, but on the other side, Jacob Calvin-Meyer joins us. Talk some more baseball up next on the Fan. 9:30 in the a.m., Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Ed Norris, Rob Long, Jeremy Kahn is out on bereavement leave. He will be back on Monday. So Jacob Calvin-Meyer from Baltimore Sun, BaltimoreSun.com, joins us now. What's up, Jacob?
Hey, fellas. When you had kids, when they were little, did you ever have a situation where there'd be times where you were like, man, this is the smartest kid ever? And then there's other times where you're changing their diaper and they're trying to touch their own poop, where you go, man, I'm not sure about this kid. Because that's what happened this morning. Poopy diaper, massive, leaky. You know, I don't want to get too descriptive here.
That's right.
And then the kid goes to grab the
kid. Your kid? Is this your kid?
Yeah.
The kid.
Yeah. She's 10 months old. She's going to grab her own poop.
Well, you know, she's curious.
Yeah.
Inquisitive.
Man.
You know, it happens sometimes.
I know. So then we had to wipe her down and everything. But that's the type of morning I'm having.
Do you ever have one? Do you have one of those diaper genies?
I do actually. They're not that bad. But also, she's only 10 months. I assume they get stinkier as she gets older.
They're just weird. It's like a poop anaconda. You pull it out. It's like 30 feet long. It's like, yeah. It's just the weirdest thing ever.
It does keep it like not super smelly, but when you do take it out and there's like 50 diapers in there, it's a little bit like, wow.
Yeah.
Not great.
Sometimes they say I miss those days. The kids I
never said that.
Yeah, not so much.
I miss the days of taking them to ball games where they're playing.
Yeah,
I don't miss
changing
diapers. Jacob Calvin-Meyer, Baltimore Sun, BaltimoreSun.com, a friend. What kind of offseason do you anticipate the Orioles having? Do you plan to be busy or just waiting for spring training, twiddling your thumbs?
I have no idea. And I think that's what makes this offseason probably one of the more interesting Orioles offseasons in quite some time, because the range of outcomes are so wide. I could see anything happening, right? If they do nothing, basically, and they sign a couple guys to one-year contracts, which has been the MO around here, that wouldn't surprise me, because that's just the way it's been. I don't expect that to be the case, but it wouldn't shock me. If they go out on the complete other end of the spectrum, and they go out and they re-sign Corbin Burnes for $200 million, and then they sign another hitter for a 3-5 year contract, and then maybe get a reliever or get another starter. Like, that wouldn't shock me either. And then anything in between. So, frankly, I have no idea what this offseason is going to look like. If I had to guess, I would probably shoot somewhere in the middle, where I'm going to guess that they will sign a starting pitcher for a multi-year contract. It will probably be somebody in the middle of that range, like a Yusei Kikuchi, who's going to sign for like 2 years, $40 million, 3 years, $60 million, something like that. And then maybe a right-handed hitting outfielder, if they can get back Santander or somebody like Tyler O'Neill, which will help with the new left field wall. But I think that's what makes this offseason so interesting, is that honestly, I can see anything happening.
Yeah, because we don't know. We just don't know. And you mentioned Santander. You mentioned Burns. In the past, there's a foregone conclusion they'd be gone. What do you think now? Is there a chance we keep one? Well, both? It's probably not, but we keep one of these two?
Yeah. Wow. I don't know. I would say that if I had to put my money on something, it would be on neither of them being back, just mm-hmm. because getting these guys back in free agency is so difficult. I think I've discussed on here before that the challenges with Corbin Burns, which is that it's going to be likely 7 years, $200+ million. That's a massive investment where you are basically admitting that the back end of that might not be great for the team. And that just doesn't seem like the type of deal that Mike Elias is willing to make, where he's saying, hey, in 7 years, I'm going to be eating $32 million mm-hmm. for a guy that has a 4 or 5 ERA or something. And then Santander, I think there's a chance that I think there's 5 or 6 teams now that are in on Soto. Anthony Santander is not Juan Soto, but if you go in for Soto and you lose, there aren't a ton of options out there that you can sign who are going to give you, you know, anywhere similar the type of offensive production that Soto will give you. So if you're one of those teams that loses out on Soto, I think Santander makes a lot of sense for you. And if you see 2 or 3 of those teams, these are big market teams. It's the Mets. Let's say the Yankees sign Soto. And then you've got the Mets and the Phillies and, you know, another team that are like, oh, well, Anthony Santander is the next guy on our list. Then that makes it harder for Baltimore to get him back. And so I will say I would be even more surprised if they got both of them back. It does seem like they're in the market for Corbin Burns. I don't know how much to believe of any of this stuff from national reporters. So, but it's going to be an interesting offseason. And if I had to guess, neither of them are going to be back, but that they're going to get some different guys in here.
Yeah, that would be interesting. I hope, I would like for one of them to come back. If not, here with Jacob Calvin-Meyer, Baltimore Sun, BaltimoreSun.com. Jacob, I'm going to ask you a question that was asked of us. We didn't have the exact answer, but we had several guys, season-ending Tommy John surgery, Wells being one of them, Means, also Bradish. Any reports on those guys' progress?
Yeah, not a ton. So we talked with Mike Elias last week when he discussed the changes to the left field wall. And I think one of the more interesting things was about Felix Bautista. He was asked, essentially, is he your closer on day one of the season? And he didn't seem to fully, you know, say yes to that answer. I think, listen, if Felix Bautista pitches the way that he did in 2023, of course he will be. But Mike seemed to suggest that that they're going to give him a little bit longer of a runway. And so if spring training doesn't look exactly what they want it to look like for Felix, there's a chance that they start the season with him in more of a setup or middle relief role, and they sort of ramp him in to being the closer instead of just saying, okay, day one, you're going to have to pitch on back-to-back days. You're going to have to, you know, come in and get a 4-out save or things like that. That could inform their decisions this offseason. If you remember, right, so in January of you know, earlier this year, Kyle Bradish injured his elbow. Nobody knew it at the time, but the team did. And then they go out and they trade for Corbin Burns. So there's a chance that they say, oh, you know, they like their bullpen now the way that it looks like, but if they get into January and maybe somebody else in the bullpen or Felix isn't exactly where they want him to be, you could see them be even more competitive in the reliever market, which we're not exactly expecting now. And then with the starting pitchers, I still think the timelines look the same. Bradish will be next summer or maybe into late in the season, you know, August, September, whereas Wells could be a little bit earlier. He could be a May to June, but you never know with these things. One tiny setback, as we saw with John Means, and it pushes them back 6 weeks. So it's just kind of a wait and see with those guys.
Yeah, I mean, I have no trouble with Schuble winning a Cy Young. I thought he was the odds-on favorite for half of the season. Everybody talked about him. Are you surprised Burns didn't have a better showing in the voting?
Yeah, a little bit. I don't know if it was the bad August that did him in. Like, was I right that there were 2 Kansas City starting pitchers that were ahead of him? I was surprised by that.
Lugo.
Yeah,
and I'm not a huge reliever guy over a starting pitcher.
Yeah,
like Class A was insane. Like, if there's going to be a closer who's going to finish high in that voting, like it's going to be somebody that has a season like him. But then you're just sort of opening up the Pandora's box, because then, you know, I don't know. I'm not super surprised. If you look at the vote totals, it was like relatively close. Like if you change a few votes here and there, Burns could have finished fourth instead of fifth. And even, he had a shot at finishing third and being a finalist. I think maybe that bad August did him in. Also, the strikeout numbers aren't there. And so some of the metrics like wins above replacement and FIP, they're not exactly what you would look like typically for somebody who had such a great season as Burns because he wasn't striking as many batters out. So that might have played a part of it too.
There is Jacob Cavanmeyer. Jacob, tell folks how to follow you on social media.
You guys can follow me on Twitter at @jcalvinmeyer and all of my reporting at thebaltimoresun.com. Always a pleasure, guys. Thanks for having me on.
As long as she doesn't throw the poo, listen, you're good to go.
Yeah, man, I don't know what this kid's doing. I'm like, what are you grabbing the poop for?
Yeah, as long as she doesn't throw it, you're good.
Yeah.
No, she's got too much. I like to say when she does something good, that's her mother. But if she does something stupid like that, that's her father in her. We gotta get that out of her.
How long are you married?
Oh, God, you're testing.
Are you serious? Are you serious right now?
It's been, wait. Don't tell. 4 years.
Yeah, that's what I mean. So you're going to learn quickly that, it's like Bill Burr says, like, the one thing I've learned about being married is that we're always working on me. You're always working on me.
Yeah.
And your wife is like this incredible project on the museum glass that needs to be admired. So you'll see.
It seemed like we had a discussion about just exactly that last night.
You're going to have for the rest of your life. So.
I know.
Till death do you part.
Wish me luck with the poopy monster over here.
There you go.
Well, you have a good one. See you soon.
Thanks, guys.
We should get... That's Joe editing. The editing genius, Joe LaCroix.
Evil genius. So many ways.
So when we get Jacob Cavanmeyer now, that's what we get.
No, I just want Jeremy to come back. He hasn't heard this.
Just give it to us again.
He's not going to expect to hear that.
Joe has the encore. You don't want to miss it. Find out what we learned today on The Fan. What's up, Rashawn?
Hey, what's up, man? Good morning, fellas.
Good morning. Quick question,
before I get back to the Hall of Fame thing, since y'all was talking about pitchers, right? Now, since the Orioles say they're going to spend some money, is it feasible that we can get maybe that Max Fry guy for 6 years, 160, and also get the Blake Snow for 4 years, 120? If they all about spending money, right, and get two stud pitchers.
Ooh, Joey Max Fried?
Who are you talking about,
Max
man?
Max Fried.
Max Fried.
Guy from Atlanta.
His name Max is Fried.
Fried.
Oh, Fried. Whatever, man.
Max Fried. Know what I meant, though. No, I really did not know what you meant. I had no clue. Yeah, they can still get him.
Did you say Snow? Him, they can get both. Was it Blake Snow? Too?
Blake Snow. Who the hell is Blake Snow? What am I missing?
The pitcher for the left handed.
Blake Snell.
Snell, all right, man. See, now,
Rashawn, I swear to you, I had no idea. You said two people. I thought I was slipping in my knowledge of baseball because I had no clue who the hell you were talking about on either one of those guys.
How about Jeremy coming back?
I'm sitting there thinking, you think we're making fun of you? You say Blake Snow and Max Fried to Jeremy Kahn. You'll be a meme.
I was thinking about JT Snow, too. That's why I got it confused, because they both played for the Giants and everything. Yeah. So I got it a little confused.
Well, Jack Snow was a receiver for the Rams way back when.
What is he talking about?
He's hilarious. He gets this right. He's like a mix between, Archie Bunker and Max Crosby.
It has to be on purpose.
Norm
man.
Crosby, yeah.
Is he doing it to us on purpose?
Because he's punking us, probably. Anyway, the encore brought to you by Lion's Den. Explore without limits. Embrace your curiosity. You got to check that place out. There's a bunch of them near us now.
That's what gets me, Joe. He said, I got to check that place out. He is a open freak. I'm a closet freak. He don't know where. He does not know where I've been.
I'm going to know if these photos are taken.
Yeah, I got my traveling photographer with me all day long. And my good friend Brian Pinson. Brian, hop on that microphone way down there for a second. My good friend Brian Pinson joining us. Brian and I were high school teammates together. He decided to go back to college now.
Yes.
And what's your major?
Morgan going to hurt me right now. So I go to Morgan. I'm a fine arts major. Major is multimedia with a concentration in photography.
Okay. All right. And why photography?
It's my passion.
Okay.
I take the camera when I love taking pictures. I take the camera with me everywhere I go.
What?
We have something in common.
What's
that? Brian,
what's that?
I love taking pictures too.
Yeah, but you love taking pictures of other things. Now, you are retired now, am I right?
Yes, a retired correctional officer.
For the state.
Mm-hmm.
This is your second career you're chasing.
Yes.
What are your thoughts on the show so far today? Well, so far, we're almost done. What are your thoughts?
I got much respect for your job. I'm going to tell the truth. I've been nodding out while I've been here. Getting up 3 a.m, that is real. That's real.
Try doing it every day, but man.
I
was sitting over here looking at him, and Ed was just laughing at you like, yeah, okay, it's real. Tap out. And the thing is, Ed, he's following me all day. We have a 6 o'clock tip-off in Upper Marlboro. I'm going to love watching him on a ride home.
Oof.
At 9 o'clock,
I say, "I'm gonna take him home now."
The ride home is gonna be beautiful. He doesn't know I'm not done today yet.
No.
between now and the game, I still got a lot of stuff to do.
That's okay. I'm enjoying this.
Okay.
This
now, time for you to find out what we learned today. What you learned today, Ed Norris?
Well, I talked about the Russian ballet dancer who was critical of Putin falls to his death from a 5-story window. It's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. You're talking to someone who is incredible. Who has more balance and control of their bodies than a ballet dancer? He's one of the most prominent ones in Russia. He falls out a 5-story window.
Have you been with a ballet dancer or something talking about the control of their bodies?
Yes.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, I was. Actually, sadly, he passed, but she had to marry Morton Downey Jr.
Really?
Yeah, her name was Lori Krebs. I dated her when I was a young police officer. She was a young dancer going to an audition at the Alvin Ailey Dance Studio.
Oh.
And that's how I met her. So I know what they're like. Strong legs, balanced, like incredible. Anyway, it's so common now in Russia, if you're critical of Putin, to have it's actually a syndrome. Russian sudden death syndrome. There's all these folks falling out windows and balconies. And yeah, it's like pretty scary stuff. What a scary man.
Today, a couple of national days. Today is National Gingerbread Cookie Day. You like gingerbread cookies? Either one of you guys?
I love gingerbread. I like ginger anything.
You like gingerbread cookies? I love gingers. Do you like gingerbread cookies?
I like gingers.
Yeah, I guess so.
I like gingers. Ginger and sushi, ginger snaps, ginger cookies, ginger ale, anything ginger, I love.
I like Marianne over ginger.
I like Marianne too, yeah, but ginger wasn't a bad second.
Yeah, I like Marianne over there.
Yeah, but I'll take a ginger. Give me a redhead anytime. Not Ken Weinman, others.
I like the ginger that you use in sushi. I do.
Regular ginger, yeah.
Yeah, that's good. That's good.
Shaved ginger.
I like ginger chicken, too.
Ginger anything. I just love that flavor.
There's also National Red Mitten Day.
Red Mitten Day.
You ever wore mittens?
I don't remember. Maybe when I was a tiny baby. I don't wear gloves even as a kid.
I don't wear gloves. I wore gloves when I was a police and when I was in the military because I was standing outside.
Yeah. Well, you have to.
That was it.
I mean, in your uniform.
But also, can I tell the truth?
Mm-hmm.
It looked good with the uniform.
I'm so glad you said that because I was a little bit. The NYPD had some badass gloves. We had the white dress gloves, of course.
Right.
But uniform gloves, way back, they were like a green. They go with it because green is a traditional color in the NYPD because of the Irish background. Then they went to gray, which also looked good with the navy blue. No black gloves. They had like green and gray. They were sharp, man.
Can I tell you what I used to do? I used to put my gloves on before I put my shirt on so that my gloves could be inside my shirt and my coat that no air got in them when I was in the military.
Yeah.
Because I was standing on post. I'd be out there for 4 hours at a time sometimes, and it's cold.
Mm-hmm.
So I put my gloves on first. Then I put my thermal shirt on. Then I put my BDU on. Then I put my coat on.
Yeah.
And then there's no air getting in there, man. Not when I was a police. I was in the military.
There's a foot cop. It was freezing. My gloves are on every day.
I was in the South, man.
That's true.
But there's also National Stuffing Day. What's your favorite kind of stuffing? Keep it family-oriented. Favorite kind of stuffing? Ed?
I'm used to Italian stuffing. Italian sausage in there.
Whatever's good.
Before I stopped eating pork, I made a great cornbread sausage stuffing. It was, I still make it. I don't eat it anymore. It was sensational. Now I just like the cornbread stuffing. Joe, you like stuffing?
Absolutely not. I hate it.
You don't like it?
It's wet bread.
True. So?
Wouldn't go grab a slice of Wonder Bread and dunk it in water, would you?
No, that's just nasty. I mean, you got to put seasoning
in stuffing. Chestnut thing. How do you feel about oyster stuffing?
I love oyster stuffing. I get it every year from our buddy Jerry. Yeah. Got to get through these birthdays. Sid Ludwig would have celebrated a birthday today. So would have Stan Musial. Earl of Pearl Monroe turns 80 today. Cedric Cornbread, speaking of Cornbread, Cornbread Maxwell turns 69 today. And Michael Strahan turns 53. You guys know this. Troy Aikman, Ken Griffey Jr., both celebrate a birthday today. Who's older, Ed? That's going to be a trip up.
Troy Aikman.
Troy Aikman is?
I'm going to say Troy Aikman.
Aikman.
Aikman. Man, you punks. Troy Aikman turns 58. Ken Griffey Jr., 55.
Yeah.
Vinny and Haney up next. Our buddy Cordell Woodland sitting in for Bob Haney. Hey, have yourself a safe and wonderful. What day is it, Ed?
Friday Eve, babe.